23. Employees of the Month. The next day I wanted to head to Rowan's as soon as I was logged on. I was looking forward to seeing what he planned on teaching me in exchange for my help with the Thieves Guild. I just hoped it didn't take too much time away from my work back at HQ. It still felt weird calling it HQ sometimes. Then again, it was the headquarters for my new corporation after all. Hell, I even had employees! Pretty awesome, right? Speaking of, it was impressive to see their improvements over the previous week. While each had their job already when coming to work for me, they hadn't had the opportunity, or reason for that matter, to really push themselves. That was changing now that they were working for All Trades, Inc. Everyone under me had grown surprisingly quickly. Apparently it was some hidden mechanic that increased skill and level improvement for employees and guild members until they were caught up to whoever they worked for, CEO or otherwise. Honestly, though, as I was walking through to leave, I realized I'd spent almost no time with any of them since they'd started working here. This included Nick, who was my first friend in the game. I decided I could at least spend a few minutes catching up with everyone before I went to Rowan's, since I wasn't working there this week. The brothers, who went by Oak and Shot, had nearly caught up to my armor smithing and weapon smithing skills, as well as my smithy job level. One more week of this, and they would possibly be producing a surplus of equipment with the temp's help. It would free me up to build up my other crafts, or branch out.
"Morning, boss!"
they greeted in unison as I entered the forge area. No matter how much they acted the part, they weren't twins, but instead were actually a couple of years apart. When I walked in, it looked like they were in the middle of finishing up some swords.
"Morning, guys. How's everything been going in here?"
I asked, curious as to whether a Tier 2 forge was still enough for them.
"It's pretty good now. That's assuming Oak pulls his head out of his ass and stops trying to argue with every idea I have,"
Shot said, glaring at his brother.
"Well, I would stop arguing if your ideas weren't complete shit, little brother," came Oak's response.
Shot's counter to this was to smack his brother in the face with the hammer he'd just been working steel with. In hindsight, the idea I had to take the enhancement from the dojo that prevented player death and spread it across the entire building was a terrible mistake. I'd done it in an effort to prevent the brothers from killing each other while horsing around, but instead all I'd done was take away the consequences of their violence.
"Settle down, boys," I said, with as authoritative a voice as I could muster. "If you two have different ideas, how about you have a little competition to see whose idea is better? I'll add two more Tier 1 forges to the building, and you can each do your own thing for a week. Whoever has the better results wins. How's that sound?"
"That's actually not a bad idea, boss," Shot said, releasing his grip on the hammer I just knew he was about to try loosening Oak's teeth with.
"Good. They'll be ready tomorrow, and you two can try out whatever new forge ideas you want. Till that's settled, don't fucking hit each other, okay?" I said and bid them farewell.
Harry and Carol, my resident alchemists, had already surpassed me in skills. Never underestimate the power and dedication of bored retirees. They had started brewing standard health and mana potions that were much stronger than the minor health and minor mana potions I'd been creating. A single health potion of theirs could bring me back from the brink of death twice over.
"Oh, good morning, Jack. How are you doing?"
came Carol's greeting as I approached the lab.
"Harold, can you come in, dear? Jack just came by."
Harold was outside in their new greenhouse. Like Distressa, they'd figured out how to spend their own points to add upgrades, so they opted to start their own grow operation of sorts.
"Hey there, Jack.
Morning, you two. I hope you're still enjoying your work. I haven't had a chance to really chat since you started," I said as I greeted the two of them. I was genuinely concerned they wouldn't enjoy this sort of thing long term, but apparently I shouldn't have worried.
"Oh, we absolutely love it, Jack. We've been dying to tend a garden again, but it's been far too cold for that sort of thing where we live now. This gives us a chance to do something we love, even if it's all digital," said Harold with a smile on his face.
"Harold is right, Jack. You've given us a tremendous opportunity. I just wish we could see our kids in-game more. They've left on some big quest in the Elven Realms. Something about an alliance,"
Carol said. "Doesn't ring any bells for me, unfortunately. I stay out of politics. Although I'd love to get us some trade deals with those elves.
Do you think your kids could get us some contact information in that region for some traders? I asked. Already I was filling my head with dreams of grandeur, thinking about moving more products into an entirely new kingdom. I'll even give them a finder's fee if they come through for us.
Wonderful idea, Jack. I'll shoot them a message now and ask, Carol said. You remind me of Harold when we were younger. He was always looking for new business opportunities and ways to network, too.
Don't sell the boy short, Carol, her husband responded. I never had the skills to pull off something like this. He's got 7 real-world employees and heaven knows how many of those NPCs working for him. And that's just after a couple of weeks. Heck, we won't recognize this place in a year, I bet.
Thanks for the votes of confidence, guys. I really appreciate it, I said. I do need to be on my way, though. Let me know if you hear back from those kids about traders.
Talking to them brought back some bittersweet memories of an older couple I used to know.
It wasn't worth thinking about at the time, though. I had things to worry about other than painful memories and broken promises. Hayden was my tailor, and the last of the first batch of employees. Honestly, I wasn't really sure how to gauge his progress except seeing his levels increase. Apparently, all of his accomplishments as a tailor so far were from natural talent and intuition. He said he was a costume designer and amateur cosplayer in real life, so he was used to improvising materials and methods to achieve a desired look or effect. Now, the in-game mechanics were racing to catch up to what he already had a knack for. So far, Cindy couldn't do much beyond enhancing weapon damage by adding or improving ratios or improving the damage reduction of armor, but it was a good start. I made a note to talking to Rowan about selling enchanted weapons and armor to the military. Normally in these games and settings, such things would be reserved for higher-ranking officers due to cost, but I believed we could start mass-producing them. Sadly, neither of them were in. Nick popped out of his workshop just long enough to tell me that they were out in town researching materials together. That was about all he had to say to me, though, as he quickly turned, ducked back into his shop, and locked the door. I wondered if he was mad at me about something, and made a note to ask later after I got back from Rowan's. Speaking of Rowan, I also needed to see if he had opinions on new skills for me and possibly diversifying the company, too. I didn't know what was really out there skill-wise, so it was hard to say what I should look for. I just had that feeling that there was a lot more we could do with this company of mine. Before I left for Rowan's, I saw the remainder of the shipment of iron coming in and remembered to spend my management points on the mine. I'd pulled in over 50,000 gold in profits in the last week with no idea how to spend it. The mine had generated 50,000 management points as well. I added 2 floors to the mine and expanded neither of them. The first floor was another silver vein and was double the size of the previous, without even upgrading it. The last floor was mithril. It was a small vein that only allowed 10 miners, but I put out directions for it to be shipped directly to All Trades HQ and spent management points to have a vault built to store it in. Literally, no one had the skill to use it yet, but I was already dreaming big. Rowan was, as always, chipper when I showed up. I guess everyone loves seeing their golden goose.
Jack, my boy, how are you today? He said when I walked into the store.
Things were slow this morning, so it gave us time to chat.
Great, Rowan. I picked up the thief job last night, so I'm ready for this quest of yours.
I guess you want me to be some sort of messenger for you? I said, hoping to move things along so I could find something new to focus on. My attention span was eternally lacking.
Well, I wouldn't quite say ready, lad, he replied after studying me carefully for a few moments.
Wait, what?
I was ready to scream when he said it. He'd explicitly said I needed the thief job and I'd unlocked it.
You just got the job, but I think there's some more skills you could stand to pick up. I hate to change the requirements, but I promise it's for your own good, he explained. You've already got tracking, dual wielding, herbalism, and stealth, which hits 4 of the 6 skills for Ranger.
Ranger? What the hell? I asked, incredulous that he wanted me to pick up a seemingly unrelated job. Why would I need to be a Ranger? Are the Thieves Guild members hiding in the forest, Robin Hood style?
Listen, lad, he began.
Oh, fuck, I was about to get lectured.
I appreciate that you've learned to craft so many things. God knows it's lined my pockets and will for quite some time. That said, sometimes you're going to have to fight for what you've got. You have to be ready to kill a few fuckers to protect what's yours and what you care about.
That caused some old flashbacks to my younger days. Thoughts for another time, though.
Okay, I said, resigned to his plan. What else do I need to learn?
There were apparently two other skills to pick up.
Oh, the missing two skills are the easy part. You gotta pick up longsword and either bow or crossbow, he explained. Crossbow is my personal favorite as it covers heavy, light, and hand varieties. I like having options, obviously.
Let me check something real quick, I said, as I messaged Popple to check something with Elle. I hadn't forgotten I told her I'd only train weapons with someone else if she didn't have the skill. Thankfully, for the sake of convenience at least, these were outside her areas of expertise. She never went longer than short sword and preferred bow as an elf. It would have been a pain in the ass to travel 4 days round trip to learn a couple of weapon skills. As soon as I gave my agreement to train with him, Rowan was dragging me to a section of the building I hadn't been to yet. It was a fucking shooting range. There was some sort of pulley system hooked up to the targets that let Rowan cause them to pop up and drop down. It even allowed some targets to strafe side to side to a certain extent. He wanted me to start with stationary targets first. Thank goodness he did, too.
Well, so much for the easy part, Ben, Rowan said with a sigh as another crossbow bolt whiffed by the intended target.
I sucked with a crossbow. I went through an entire bundle of bolts without hitting anything. Holy shit, why is this harder than using my arm crossbow? I asked, completely frustrated.
It's because that contraption on your arm just requires you to point your arm straight out and shoot. It's a little bit different than lining up a shot down the sights of a typical crossbow. That and it seems the skill to use such a thing is natural to you since you started out with it. Tell you what, he said as he started looking through the equipment racks towards the back of the room. Try this and see how it works for you.
What he handed me looked like a wooden pistol with a tiny bow sitting on top. The game information said it was a hand crossbow. The damage was lower, and it wouldn't punch through armor quite the same, but Rowan assured me it was easier to aim with the instincts and techniques I had already grown used to. This time he was right. It was like shooting a handgun with almost no recoil and much shorter effective range. I hit my target first try. Do you have some more of these? I want to try something, I asked. He nodded and proceeded to produce 9 more. I loaded all of them up with the special shorter bolts made for them and laid them out in a row. Once I had everything set up, I grabbed one in each hand and took out 2 targets almost simultaneously. Rowan let out a long whistle at that.
Well, lad, seems like we found what works for you, didn't we?
The game seemed to agree with his assessment, as I was rewarded with the skill for crossbows. New skill, crossbows, level 1, plus 1% attack speed, and plus 1% damage per level. Not surprisingly, the attack speed increase functioned slightly differently for crossbows than swords. With melee weapons, the attack speed increase allowed you to recover to a ready position more quickly after you attacked something. With crossbows, it was a combination of both reload speed and sighting a shot. For whatever reason, light crossbows just didn't click with me the way the hand crossbows did. They were so different, it felt like it should be a different skill.
All right, lad, ready for the real training?
Rowan asked as he went over to a lever and pulled. Immediately, the thrum of magic and slow, steady grinding of gears filled the room. The squeak of pulleys moving followed shortly after as targets started popping up and down, as well as moving side to side.
I figured you could use the most difficult version of this, since you're a natural shot with those and can use 2 at once.
Gee, thanks, I replied.
I started watching targets, looking for a pattern and found none that was discernible. Instead, I picked up the first 2 crossbows on the table, took a deep breath, and prepared myself.
All right, let's do this.